Welcome to Fathom FinTech, where we talk about the future of finance. I'm your host, Surinderjeet Kaur Patti, CEO and founder of Fathom Foresight, a knowledge as a service platform which is focused specifically on fintech and financial innovation. And today we are going to talk about SME ecosystems. And my guest for the podcast is Nick Wesley James. Nick is co-founder of a platform called Ribbon, which is a full-stack platform for business formation. They offer additional services like accounting, bookkeeping, payroll, and even setting up a business address. So without any wait, let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Nick. How are you doing?
Hey, G, thanks. I'm doing really well. Really happy to be here.
Wonderful. So Nick, we have a lot to unpack in today's session. SME, specifically what's happening in the North American market. There's so much competition and so many players who are trying to launch bundled services, SME ecosystems for small businesses in the area. So we have a lot to unpack, and we'll talk a lot about that, including your company, Ribbon, and you know how that is enabling businesses in the North American market. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about your background story, because I know there are some big milestones in your story that led you to actually launch Ribbon. So let's hear that, and then we'll get into the meaty side of things.
Sure. So I think growing up, I always really liked computers, and I always loved side hustles. So, you know, from an early age, it would be doing some like mowing lawns as a side income. And that pretty quickly progressed into launching a computer repair business, think small time, having a fun time, putting flyers around the neighborhood, trying to get like friends, my parents' friends to use me instead of, you know, the local computer repair business. I also ran LAN parties, kind of random. I remember computer gaming, everyone comes to like a conference center, brings their desktop PCs. So I also had a small business running LAN parties, LAN Fest Guelph. If you ever look it up, there might be a track of that. But always like entrepreneurial, technical, you know, I think I actually remember launching the computer repair business. I had no idea how to do the administration for that. So I remember actually one time going to ask my local bank how to register a business and them offering me, asking if I wanted to apply for a loan, like kind of fun stories like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. How old were you back then?
I think it was probably like 14, that kind of age range, doing these, like grade 9.
Oh, okay. Wow. And they were offering, they were giving you a loan. They were happy to give you a loan.
I'm pretty sure they would ask my parents to co-sign if they gave that one, but you never know.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay.
And I ended up going to Queen's University for electrical engineering, and I took an extra year and I studied economics also. They've got this great dual degree program, spend an extra year, get an extra degree. So I took advantage of that. I really studied electrical engineering because I want to build cool stuff. That was like ultimately the purpose. Like I thought it'd be fun to build little gadgets. I ended up getting a little bit more into software. I found it kind of matches the way I think a little bit easier, where you can iterate quickly, make changes quickly. Hardware projects, I found a bit more challenging, difficult to iterate quite at the same speed. When I was in school, I actually ended up joining the military. So in Kingston, there's a CFB, Canadian Forces Base Kingston, and I ended up getting a part-time job at 21st Electronic Warfare Regiment as a signals officer. So,
wow,
pretty neat experience. They really hooked me. They're like, "Oh, you're gonna do like secret missions that you can't tell anyone about." I'm like, "I'm totally sold. This is great."
Well, you were right out of college, out of university, Queen's University at that point.
I actually did that during school. So I joined in my third year, and the way the military is good for summer jobs. So they would be doing military training in the summer and then part-time through the school year.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And did you stick by for long, or how long were you there for?
Yeah. So actually I'm still in the military. So I've been doing it for 12 years, mix of full part-time work. It's pretty fun experience. Like the military really gives you as much as you put in, you'll get out of it. Got some great experiences, got to do a deployment to Jordan, really like an embassy type job, foreign development, which is really interesting. I got to help out with, you know, the nursing home COVID in Toronto when the military went into the nursing homes. I got to help run the command post kind of communication systems for that, which is pretty good experience. Kind of a fun fact, the military too, you wouldn't think about this, but you know, you watch videos online and the recruiting ads, they show like really high adrenaline. Like it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like part of the job, but there's also a fairly heavy administrative job there. So military doesn't have a human resources function like civilian jobs do. So you end up doing the administration for your soldiers, ticky-checky items, looking at policy. So kind of funny, I actually think I learned a lot of skills in the military about how to do paperwork that I apply to my job at Ripon now.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's interesting. I've heard of similar experiences in the past from people who have been in the military and then joined corporate world. They said there are a lot of learnings and takeaways. I think it always stays with you once, that's what I've heard. Once you're in the military, there are learnings and, you know, it kind of becomes part of your personality as well, that always sticks with you no matter where you go. But that's really amazing. I want to go to that part where you were trying to launch your business and you went to the bank and said, can you help me open the business? And they said, sorry, we can't do that, but you can get a loan. Did you end up actually registering that business at that point? What happened then?
I'll be honest. My 14-year-old business was probably not in full compliance. I think that I didn't fully end up registering the business. I just did a little bit of business, I skirted a few rules there. I think the dollar value was low enough. It's not that impactful. But I do think now if I had an easier solution, like an easy button solution, I would have just done it. Like it's not so much, I would have done the steps if I had known how to do them, but the process of like paying someone to do them or learning it was a bit honestly beyond what I was capable of. So kind of like things all tie together when you look back in the past, like I can see how that thought may have, you know, help me form the idea for Ripon, but it's kind of, it's things looking retrospectively are more clear.
I could see that too. I think the best ideas come from personal experiences, best business ideas. So definitely there was a genesis definitely seems to have started there for you. And we'll get into Ripon and, you know, how you're enabling the businesses, small businesses to launch in Canada, Nick. But before that, let's talk a little bit about the ecosystem. Small businesses have been the core of the economy for many, many years, they're one of the major employers in the country as well. But it's only, I think, in past few years, let's say past decade for the fintechs and maybe past half a decade for the traditional FIs or the incumbent players, that they've started to look at SMEs as a clear-cut category that needs specific products that are tailored to their needs, and started to offer these bundled service offerings, which now some call it SME ecosystem around payments, around financial services. And we have quite a few, I think, milestones in the journey with Shopify and others that have enabled businesses to launch online and hence, you know, get certain financial services and other services online as well. But let's get a little bit, because you're playing in this space and obviously have amazing insights on how the market is, you know, evolving over the past few years. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Like I've had a really privileged position to speak to a lot of entrepreneurs in Canada and also a lot of financial service providers with their SME teams. And I've had a few interesting insights. I'll kind of go slight one step up or one abstraction up. I kind of believe that the way people have traditionally looked at small businesses is incorrect. So typically you're looking at them as a business bank account, and for a price sensitive customer who, you know, doesn't want to pay any fees and doesn't borrow very much money, right? That's like the traditional kind of small business account. But I think, you know, more and more people are realizing that although these clients are price sensitive, they require a lot of services too. So typically they've been paying for these services. You think like accounting software, invoicing software, you know, bill pay. Even when you go looking around that bigger, so if you have a business that's fully owned by one person or two people, this business is like the most central piece of their personal finance life too.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, great. What's been traditionally looked at as a business, small and not borrowing, when you look a little broader, you see this entity that's requiring a lot of services and also is typically, for example, has a large personal mortgage, let's say. And I think these things are like intertwined directly. And I think more and more, you know, in the ecosystem, people are looking at these as more one kind of cohesive entity. You're also finding that, I believe, customer acquisition costs for business bank accounts, I believe, have just been going up and up. So, you know, it's well over $1,000 to acquire a business bank account customer in Canada.
Wow.
And that's almost forcing ecosystem players to take a different approach. And I think you're going to see really just bundled services that have a higher LTV so that you can afford the paying more on CAC upfront is what you're going to see more and more.
Right, right. And we've had, as I said, we've had quite a few, I guess, players have changed the trajectory or the evolution of the space for the small business clients, right? So I was, talking about Shopify earlier, but then we have had this whole breed of SME challenger banks.
Yeah.
That in Canada, I like to call them sort of, you know, pandemic babies, because we did not have SME challenger banks before pandemic. Most of them launched during that time, or we've had launches from other parts of the world. In Canada, like Airwallex is one example that I have been talking a lot recently about. It's an Australian company that launched card products and multi-currency wallets and so forth in Canada. That's also changed how the banks are now looking at, you know, offering their services to small businesses, because some of these challenger banks, sure, they have the basic checking account and, you know, a credit card, but then they have expense management solutions, which were not earlier available for small businesses. Those were more so meant for corporate and commercial clients, right? Or integrations into the accounting softwares for real-time reconciliation, invoicing solutions. The list kind of keeps going on how these players have played a huge part in the space. And then obviously lower cost of doing banking. I guess that's the competition is leading on to lower banking costs for SMEs as well. But that helps me help us understand where we are in this evolution right now. So in the East, we have seen some bundled super apps for SMEs that have done pretty well. In UK, we have Revolut that has built this amazing suite of products for small businesses, which has a marketplace product as well. So you can actually integrate the services that you need to run your day-to-day operations as a business easily through that marketplace, right? In Canada, we have Contenders, I think, but we still don't have the super app for small businesses at this point. I think like Shopify, for example, they are getting heavily involved into financial services now. They have a card product and they have Shopify Balance, not yet launched in Canada. It's live in US. But then Shopify Capital, that's been live in Canada for quite some time and a very popular product. So there are Contenders, and we have SME Challenger banks. And then we have our traditional banks who are playing in this space as well and trying to launch services through their venture team or through SME, through different fintech partnerships. So that's the kind of ecosystem we have. Where do you think this is evolving to in North America?
Great question. So just to put some names to the players you mentioned. So as I'm tracking, you're tracking other ones, the kind of neo SMB banks I'm tracking are Ven, Float, Loop, and Keep are the four. I believe they're all venture backed also. Yes. All fairly recent contenders. From the major bank playing in the space, RBC with their owner offering is the primary innovator on the bank side. I think it's so interesting with those entrants, like the new SMB banks are going to be taking more of a product focus, providing a superior product and hoping to grow likely a little bit more organically. And then you have RBC able to put more marketing dollars behind an approach. And I'm definitely curious to see exactly how that pans out. You can look to like the US as such a good example as they're a fair bit ahead of us in fintech. The US has so many different vertical banking solutions out there. Mm-hmm. Like the one I like to look at is Stripe Atlas, for example. So they're a great example where Stripe just wants more people on Stripe and they realize that like you can just add business sign up flow as part of a Stripe flow and you'll just more easily convert people into Stripe customers. So I think that's a really good example of an incumbent where they're just adding business formation to their really like, you know, their financial product.
Yeah.
In Canada, I think you're going to see, again, like a few different approaches. I think the banks are going to be forced and the FIs are really going to be forced to innovate more aggressively on their product. As I mentioned, I think business registration is going to be a key part of that, just looking at responding to RBC. But I equally think that the SMB space is going to be really fused with the personal space. I think you're going to see a lot more hybrid personal business offerings, as they essentially are the same thing. So envision an investment product that straddles personal and business, or a payroll product, again, low fees because you're transferring from same account to same account. Kind of that just a reduction in complexity, or a easy apply for mortgage with your business finances on your personal side. So I think in Canada, that'll be an approach that some FIs will apply.
Yeah. I think I just heard about this. I was reading about this challenger bank from US called Flex. It recently got a huge funding as well. And they're doing exactly the same thing. It's like one account for business owner to manage their business and personal finances within a single ecosystem. I agree. Like even initially when you were talking about, it's not just small business that you're getting as the client. It's a whole entity. The business owner's personal finances and how he manages it, saves his money and invests his money is very intertwined with, you know, how the business cash flow looks like. So that's a very important point. And I think probably we are starting to see some elements of that in Canada. But Flex is one that I know I read that it's based out of US, but it is offering services to entrepreneurs globally. That's always, you know, a bit of a caveat there, which we can imply that they might be operating already in Canada. But that's definitely, I totally agree, Nick, that's definitely, I think, one of the key trends that is coming up in the space.
Another angle I think you'll see more and more of is, you know, that like login with Interac on to government services?
Yes.
I kind of see on the business side, probably a similar type offering, like a centralized identity. You know, as far as I can tell, the government's increasing KYC requirements across the board. And it probably personal will lead the way, but I do envision one day you'd have a similar system for a business credential. You know, bank has done the KYC, they've got your backing for a credential, let you log in or verify your identity online as a business. I would see that as a likely offering in the future also, and kind of a niche that the banks would really be able to like own that one as they're the kind of like the core doing that like deep KYC on the business.
Wow. I just love that idea. That'll be a huge game changer in terms of, you know, how small businesses are accessing services. I really hope somebody from Interac or, you know, another government policy person is listening to this and would be thinking around this, but that'll be huge for sure. Getting a centralized service based on a single credential and, you know, obviously getting loans for small businesses is not an easy feat. And we are looking into a time when open banking will be launched in Canada. So just imagine the power of having a digital ID for a business along with open banking. That could lead to a lot of innovation over there. Those are some really, Nick, amazing, insights and new business ideas there overall. But let's talk about Ribbon. You were talking about the business registration side of things. And you also mentioned RBC Owner, which is a bank-backed product, a bank's product that is enabling small businesses to incorporate and register in Canada. So tell us about Ribbon and what all, I know there's more than just business registration that you're offering to small businesses. So tell us about the whole suite of product and, how you're enabling SMEs.
Yeah, thanks, Jeet. So at Ribbon, we just have a mission to make it easy to run a business. So we work with entrepreneurs. You're typically going to be 1 to 2 person owner operator in Canada, typically pretty comfortable with digital technologies. Think Shopify stores, consultants. Actually, marketing consultant is our most common client. We also have some tech companies on there. We've got like a challenger internet service provider out west, which is a pretty neat company too. But again, our goal is just to make it easy. So we focus on the starting your business, so business registration, assembling your legal documents, getting your minute book in order, and then helping you run that business through doing bookkeeping and tax prep, tax filing, and payroll for companies. We also have a mailing address that some clients have used. So we offer a registered office if you want to use that to protect your privacy. Again, based on our based on our clientele, most people operate out of their homes. So a registered office lets you kind of protect the privacy of your home, make your company mm-hmm. look a little more official also.
Yeah. And that's definitely a big one, having, gone through the journey myself, all the 4 products rather, not just the mailing address. And I did use RBC's owner product when we were setting up Fathom Foresight as well. And I would say, what an amazing experience to be able to do that online without ever talking to lawyers or anybody else overall. But even the business mailing, I think post-pandemic, we have a lot more SMEs that are launching out of home and they're fully offline teams. And not everybody is comfortable sharing, their home address as their business address. You've got to put it out at 1,000 places and different documents and websites and whatnot. So that's definitely huge service for the SMEs as well. So I want to touch a little bit about the incorporation and registration side of things, Nick, because I think that's the crux of the very initial point when somebody's starting to launch a business, and this might come as a hurdle. You have no clue where to start. Maybe you have this great business idea, but no clue where to start. And in the past, people have gone to, lawyers or certain companies that enable this. But tell us how Ribbon makes it easy. Walk us through the process as to how, what will a customer journey look like and how quick, and also how much it costs to, set up a business completely online.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of a theme or urban thing for Ribbon is if you envision that discussion you're having with a professional, that offline discussion, you're going to be covering many of the same topics, a lot of them very basic, right? So mm-hmm. we try to think there's certain times when a professional is the right choice for you, like if you're uncertain, if you want advice. But the cases where we focus on are really cookie cutter. So if you have a very straightforward, we provide self-serve tools. So you can envision that in a practical sense. We just have an in-depth onboarding form, with a few hints locked in there, that asks you those core questions about your business, who owns mm-hmm. it, who the directors are, what the business name is. And we kind of guide you through that process. We then file the documents with the government for you, and then we generate a minute book for you. So we generate cookie cutter legal documents like for you to issue shares, do your initial resolutions. We host those and let you make easy changes to them. But again, we're pretty templatized. So anything more complicated you need, we just refer you to a lawyer. So mm-hmm. we're actually a legal referral machine. So we're, and for pricing, the way it works is we charge $300 per year for our corporate governance product. And that includes business formation. If you want to use this just for one time, it's absolutely no problem. Any government fees are on top of that. So typically, you know, federal and corporation is going to be $200 government fee, $300 our fee, so about $500.
I see. And how quickly, like if I start the process now, how long does it take for me to get registered?
Yeah, we say budget 5 business days. Typically, it's going to be about 1 business day. The item that catches you up the most is going to be your name reservation. So sometimes the government will reject your business name, and then there's some back and forth with them. So that's by far the longest part of the process. We say budget 5 days, but typically we'll get you done in 1 to 2. It's a little bit like if we send you documents to e-sign, how fast those are signed, how fast the government is that day. Those are the factors.
Right. And the compliance part of the entire journey, I think that's also important to kind of understand, because you're helping people incorporate both as, I guess, sole proprietors and also as limited corporations, right? So there must be a difference, bit of a difference in the journey there, but you ensure everything is compliant as you were taking them through it.
So we don't do sole proprietors. We will soon. We do the corporations. So we've just worked with lawyers to establish like best practices. Mm-hmm. So if you can envision setting up a business, there's a ticky checky list of items, right? Are you going to have an auditor? Are you going to waive the auditor? When's your fiscal year end date? Have the shareholders receive shares? Have they, you know, set the directors? Like these kind mm-hmm. of standardized ticky-checky things, but they're, unless you have someone who's done it before, you're not going to be able to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Really? Like this is, I'd be so impressed if I found someone that was able to go through this all themselves.
Yeah.
So we just take, you know, the templates the lawyers use, we clean them up a bit and offer those self-serve to our customers.
To your customers. That's actually wonderful. And I think when you're starting a business, it's mostly a cookie cutter case is what I can imagine, unless it's something complex that, you know, is not the case. But I think majority of them is what I'm imagining should be. Yeah. But then let's say you're incorporated and now you need certain financial tools, which you are enabling as well, both on the accounting and on the taxation side of things as well. So tell us a little bit more about that service.
Yeah. So we try to make it like, okay, if you start up a business, you're not running yet, probably our corporate governance is fine for you. But once you're like rolling, you've got income coming in, we know you're probably going to need help on bookkeeping and tax prep. So what we do is we've got an accountant who will do your bookkeeping and then taxes. We integrate it with our platform. So we're fleshing out this offering. We want to make it one cohesive experience where, mm-hmm. you know, you can cover your governance, you can cover your bookkeeping, your tax filings. So if you can envision on the platform, we just have different tabs. One tab is all your different open tax accounts and the upcoming deadlines associated with those and associated payments. So you think, oh, you'll check like, when do I have to pay my corporate income tax? Check the tab, be like, oh, okay, this is the date. This is the current status of it being prepared. But we see these like a hybrid between all these items, right? Where mm-hmm. it's just like for business owners, you're not thinking of these things differently. You're thinking of it all as like back office stuff you need to do. So that's kind of where we're trying to get, just covering off your back office.
Yeah. And I think that's the, you know, the reason for all the SME ecosystem and bundled offerings is that how do you give a small business owner more time of the day to spend on actually, you know, the core activities of the business rather than the non-core one or the operational side of things. And taxes and accounting, for sure, you know, as a small business owner, one, you don't have experience when you're starting up. And second is you don't have as many resources to, you know, hire a full-fledged finance team or a big accounting team to help you keep on track in a regular way. And I still hear, we have set up Fathom in a way that, well, thankfully, you know, we haven't gone through that, but scary stories of, you know, business owners taking their receipts at the end of the day in a shoebox to their accountant. And I've heard that still happens. So that's definitely like the financial management part of things, I think is a huge addition of services there after you set up the business. And then, of course, you said you offer the mailing services as well, which I believe is like a PO box number that the business can get.
So it's not a PO box number. So a PO box number can't be used for a registered office. So we have an address on Bay Street that you can use.
I see. Okay. Wonderful. And so you have been in the market for about 2 years now, Nick, right, I believe. And any kind of interesting client stories, you know, aha moments with the clients you've had?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier we helped a company called Wakey Internet set up. So it's a West Coast challenger internet service provider. So they're going up against Rogers, Bell, and they're selling direct to consumer home internet. Okay. We had the privilege of helping them establish their business and helping them on the bookkeeping tax filing side. And it's been awesome to see them grow. It's interesting too. So like, you know, on the fintech side, we're pretty focused on things like open banking, right? But it's neat to talk to clients and understand a lot of them don't think about open banking. They have their own kind of industry specific problem they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. You know, Wiki is very focused, for example, on this upcoming election, advocating for a reversal of a CRTC wholesale rate decision. And it's just so interesting to hear about these like specific issues facing clients that like I would never know about, but you know, when you chat to them a bit, you kind of hear about what actually keeps them up at night.
Right. And that is interesting because you're right. Like as people in the industry, we think of open banking in a very different way than the actual, I guess, beneficiaries of it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they just want to run their business in the most efficient way. And whatever can enable that, they'll for sure use it. But they're not, like, that's not on agenda for them in the way that it is. Open banking is for us in a way. That is very interesting insight, I think, because even in UK after open banking was launched, it did take some time for people to, you know, adopt and fully understand it. So I think we'll have that bit of initial time in Canada as well after we launch. But that is definitely a very interesting take from your client story there. Tell us a little bit about, we were talking about RBC Owner. I want to understand how does, Ribbon product differentiate from what RBC Owner is offering to SMEs?
Sure. Yeah, we've been tracking RBC Owner quite closely. I think they've hit probably 10% market share, growing 36% CAGR of new business formations in Canada. So they've really proven out that a bank can play in the business formation space. For us, you know, RBC looks for establishing a business bank account, right? That's ultimately going to be their goal. What we're looking for is we see business formation as the start of a relationship with a customer. So that's just step one. We want to be with a customer through their journey, right? How they're running their day-to-day operations, how they're getting their taxes filed, how they're paying themselves, you know, a bit more focused on running a business versus just starting a business. We're also quite capable to partner with other players in the ecosystem. You know, we think that other FIs are going to want a similar service, and we're happy to be there to fill that role.
That is wonderful. So all the professionals from the banks and credit unions and other FIs who are listening in, Ribbon is and can enable you to launch a product which is competitive to or similar to, in a way, offering these services as RBC owner, because they have had quite a bit of success. They just hit their 200K milestone, I believe. So, and you're right, it is a testimony that bank can offer these kind of services to SMEs and can be successful both in terms of customer retention, but also they are offering more services now in the marketplace, and they just launched SME insurance and other things as well. Being a client myself of RBC owner, I could totally attest to it that this model really works. So Ribbon can enable other FIs to play in this space as well. But talking about what are the future plans, Nick, I think you're adding on to your product suite, like the meeting address service recently launched. What is your product roadmap looking like, both for the direct-to-consumer product, but also you mentioned you want to enable other FIs to compete in the market with a service like RBC Owner. So what is the roadmap and, you know, the future plans look like for Ribbon?
Yeah, so from the roadmap standpoint, so the kind of structure I look at it, it's kind of like you do a business formation and governance, money in, money out. What do you do with the money in the business, and then tax filing? So you kind of have these like different buckets. On the jurisdiction standpoint, our roadmap's really to add sole proprietors. Money in, we want to make sure that, you know, when you start up a company, you can easily select between funding that company with equity or a shareholder loan, just at your point of formation. Money out, we're digging, just trying to tie dividends into just a more smooth experience of generating and issuing dividends is what we're focused on. Money in the corporation, short term, we're not going to be focusing on it too much, but long term, I really want to explore that. Apply for a personal mortgage using business finances more easily. Like, I think that's a good, interesting point that's not really been explored. So I'd like to explore that along with long-term, more investment products, probably through a partnership. And then the tax is a real big beast there. So that's going to take a bit more effort on our part to kind of smooth that out. But it's how do you get from a traditionally very manual service to a bit more of an automated service. And the point there we're looking at is primarily the back and forth between what would be back and forth between a professional and between the client. So things like submitting receipts, reminders on documents, conveying what to pay when. So it's the back and forth and tracking pieces where the thrust will be. On the partnership standpoint, pretty interesting. So the kind of the model that I think is neat is we're definitely exploring partnerships like a white label or affiliate model. We see Ribbon as a fintech. Our strength is we can iterate quickly, like any fintech, faster than an incumbent. So we're able to test products more rapidly, right? No surprise, we can adjust pricing, positioning, packaging very quickly. When an FI is more expected to be more consistent, steady with their products. So we're trying to think if there's a model where we can offer, you know, products as desired to an FI. So example, we offer our business formation suite. Great. And they're probably initially not going to be comfortable with a bookkeeping, you know, tax filing offering, which is totally fine. And we kind of iterate on these offerings until, you know, our partners are comfortable, and then they can like enable that feature on their side. So kind of co-create a bit on the Ribbon side, push things a bit faster. When we've achieved comfort, then switch it over to the partner.
Right. And that's a great approach. So it's kind of like a pilot and sandbox mix that you're talking about, where you can build, co-create the services based on what AFI's biggest need is, and launch them in a pilot mode initially to test it out, test the waters, and then eventually to all their clients. That's a great approach. And you're right, as I think as a fintech, you can enable that at a much faster pace and in a much isolated environment than it could impact the environment of a FI overall. I really love that, and I hope there are professionals from banks and credit unions that are listening in. If they have to reach out to you, where do they reach out?
Yeah, they can just find me on my website, ribbonbusiness.com. Just look for me there, no problem. Or find me on LinkedIn, Nick Wesley James.
Wonderful. We'll add those links in our in the description below as well for people to check it out. But that was really fun, Nick. I just because you have so much in-depth, you know, into the SME space in Canada. I wanna. I have a few questions for you, like a lightning turnaround. Sure. So tell me if there is a misconception about starting a business in the ecosystem, what that is, that you think it is.
Yeah. So my misconception is it costs $200 to incorporate a business. So technically true, you can go file $200 online, but by incorporating a business, you then are on the hook for tax filings. You'll need to track accounting. Mm-hmm. So you probably need to pay a professional because it's too challenging to do so yourself. So I see that $200 as, yes, it is $200 cost today, but you're inherently signing up for like a $2,000-$3,000 liability in a year's time. Mm-hmm. So I find that a bit of a misconception.
I see. And I think I heard somebody recently, actually, I heard in the network, and they were talking about a much bigger amount. So not everybody thinks it as a small amount. Many people conceive it to be a really big amount. They're like, oh, we should probably look into how much money we need to save to start a business and for incorporation overall. So I totally see that there are misconceptions in the market around that. And if you could implement one policy that could support Canadian entrepreneurs, considering the scenario we are living in today, what would that be?
Can I give you two policies?
For sure. I just can't get over how many great ideas you have. So I'm sure there's a new business idea in there somewhere. But yeah.
Sales tax is challenging for many of our clients. You hear them talking about dragging down interprovincial trade barriers. Mm-hmm. And the one I'm not hearing too much is sales tax standardization. If everyone is on HST, even at slightly different rates, that would make it a lot easier. Right now, I'm seeing our customers, you know, have to register with multiple provinces that have different rules. I'll be selling to Quebec. Like, what do they charge for sales tax? And it's not so obvious. So it could be really easy, but it's not. So I'd say that's one. Get everyone on HST. My other one is, so if you operate in a province, you're supposed to go through a process called extra provincial registration, which just like gives the province a heads up you're operating in the province. Each province has slightly different registration requirements and very different registration processes. The process is pretty much generally, it's going to be like, if you have an office or an employee or actively soliciting sales in a province, you're supposed to register. Some provinces require you to have they call it like an attorney for service, just someone to receive legal letters in that province. So it'll be this process where you need to go, you want to register, you're like a one-person company, right? Or a two-person, you want to hire an employee in this province, and you're supposed to go through this process of finding someone to receive legal letters for you, like mailing in paper forms to the government. Like they should just standardize this process. Ontario, to be honest, does a really good job. It's like no cost, easy. I'd really recommend if the provinces actually want people to register, just make it easy and people will.
Mm-hmm. Wow, those are, I think, two big points for the policy people to definitely think about. And what's your bold prediction for the future of SME business services in Canada?
Sure. I'll go a bit longer term. So I think, okay, envision this. Like you walk into your branch at a bank, you go talk to your business banker. Most business owners, I believe, would be very happy asking them all sorts of legal tax questions, right? Like I think you kind of just want an answer, or you're going to go check ChatGPT for that question. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's certain questions that should be like, you know, a legal legal advice has only come from a lawyer, right? Tax advice from CPAs. And there's this really blurring of lines now with these AI tools, right? So you think like, what's a self-serve tool? What's legal advice? What's tax advice? It's really blurring. So I think in a consumer SMB standpoint, they just want an answer. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see more interesting solutions where you have these. I actually think you'll even have partnerships between like a tech company, a law firm, an accounting firm, a financial firm, where mm-hmm. you're like being very specific about how you answer questions. But from a business standpoint, they're just getting an answer. Back end, that question is being routed to the correct professional mm-hmm. with the right disclaimers. So I think you're going to see this like blur, yeah, software, professional services of various types, blurred into one offering for SMBs.
Right. And that's like a true bundled, you know, service for yeah. SME, where different players who each one has in-depth knowledge and or expertise in a particular space are coming together to offer these professional bundled service to the SMEs. And I could see probably, you know, either tech giants or banks would like to be the touch point there. Yeah. More so the financial institutions would like to be the touch point to own that customer relationship there, you know. But definitely, and I think we're headed towards that, Nick, like we were talking about mm-hmm. that earlier. The financial institutions are now more open to partnerships than they were in the past. Most of them are now actively looking for, you know, fintech and other tech partners that they could bring in. They have teams that are specifically called fintech partnership teams now, or they have ventures where they're testing out these partnerships model. But I definitely see that I think in a big way in Canada overall. And when we I was mentioning earlier, we track the fintechs in Canada that are operating in Canada. And a fun fact, we have more fintechs in Canada that are servicing SMEs than retail customer. So,
really?
Yes, which is, you know, again, somebody, whenever I say that, people take that by surprise, but it's actually true. And both the pace, as well as where we are right now in terms of bundled services, it's much ahead for small business ecosystem than for retail customer ecosystem. Like, we still don't have super apps like Alipay, WeChat, Paytm in Canada, but we do have bundled SME services that are launching here. So let's keep up on that for sure as a country, and offer our small businesses the best, you know, state of art possible solutions in Canada. And I'm sure Ribbon will play a big part in that, Nick. But really wishing you well for the next few launches, and also the white labeling product. Again, I would say I've seen some of the demos of Ribbon and the website, the solution overall, and highly recommend financial institutions to, you know, reach out to Nick and explore this solution. And partnership overall. But Nick, it was really fun talking with you, a lot of deep insights, and again, you know, a lot of amazing ideas, business ideas that you have around this space. Would love to have you back in some months on the podcast again, but it was really, really insightful. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jeet. Really appreciate it.
Well, that was Nick sharing some amazing insights on the SME ecosystem space and what products and services are offered by his company, Ribbon. If you enjoyed this episode, do subscribe. We publish episodes on fintech and financial innovation topics every week. And also, if you are looking for market intelligence and research in the fintech and financial innovation space, do check us out at fathomforesight.com. We also run a newsletter, and you can follow us and access our newsletter on our LinkedIn channel as well. The link to all of that is shared below in the description. But with that, I'll see you next time. Take care.